Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
The Bible says to admonish one another, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's read this three or four main scriptures that speak of admonishing each other in the body of Christ. This is body life. This message is about body life, all coming out of the cross and the love of God. Admonish one another, Romans 14, 15. And I myself, also Paul writes to the Roman believers, am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. We're going to read these and then kind of go through them and break them down a little bit, following the pattern of Nehemiah 8, where the elders read the scriptures distinctly. They read straight out of the Word of God, and then they gave the sense there. Let's break this down. Admonish. You've read that in your King James Bible many times, I'm sure, and let's talk about what it means and what place it has in the instruction of God for His people. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we find it also, the word admonish, and it says this: and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. One more, Colossians 3:16, where we all should be familiar with this verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 tells us that we are to, let's start right there with that one. As goes the definition of admonish, by the way, that means to put in mind, to caution, reprove gently, or to warn. It's kind of like a gentle rebuke, maybe, reproving gently. A lot of times, most of the times, we probably don't need an outright Peter to Paul rebuke, as we see in Galatians 2, where Peter was carried away with the dissimulation of the Judaizers, and his attitude and actions toward the Gentile believers became reprehensible and needed to be corrected publicly. But most of the time in our midst, either we need to be admonished ourselves by somebody else, or God will use us to admonish others. And let me just say this. This has to all come out of the love and the cross of Christ. It has to come out, like any and everything in our Christian life, out of the love of God and the cross of Christ. It has to come out of resurrection life of Christ, as we are resigning ourselves to the death and burial of self, that Jesus Christ reigns and raises us up, and He's doing His bidding, if you will. He's living His beautiful life through each and every individual member of His beautiful body. Hallelujah. So the biblical word, the instruction, if you will, to admonish, as we just read in four scriptures in the New Testament, means to put in mind, to caution, reprove gently, to warn. We don't have to try to give the mechanics of that, but we will see that not only happening to us by other of Christ's members of His body, but also God will use us in this matter to help people and warn them. There's so many times I'm talking to people and I'm quickened by the Spirit to warn them lovingly and exhort them. You know, a guy that recently got saved, just comes to mind that I was having a really, really anointed conversation with him the other day, and had already obviously began to disciple him before in other meetings with him. But I was sharing with him about the blessedness of being in God God's word and using it. I was illustrating it like the scriptures do as food, even as we feed our body food. So it's healthy, it's strong, it's alert. We must feed our spirit with the word of God. And I told him, you know, being in the word of God is so important because we will grow faint and weary and even fall away if we're not in the word of God. And it's kind of like, and he's an older guy, so he understands this more than many of us do, that a younger, I said, man, you know, it's kind of like before we had central heat and air, you had to have a furnace, you know, fireplace in the middle of the home, your home, or a potbelly stove or whatever. And during the night, you know, before you went to bed in the winter, the dad and the boys would wood in that furnace and get it going, you know, so it would heat the whole house in the middle of the night. If that, you know, if things started getting cold, you wake up, you realize, man, I need to go throw another log on this fire. And so my family is warm. And so you get up, go fuel those flames, get them back going, you know, and that's how it is with the word of God every day. We've got to throw a log on the fire by getting in, staying in the word of God and keeping that fire burning and being like the wise virgin believers of Jesus's parable of his coming in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, where he said five of those 10 virgins, which the kingdom of heaven was likened unto, fell away. Why? They didn't keep in fellowship with the bridegroom. They didn't stay. They didn't abide, continue in Christ. It takes a deliberate effort to decide, you know what? Though none go with me, yet I will follow my king who is coming. And like Job, who said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the earth in the last days. Job 19:25. Hallelujah. Declare it and do it, saints. There is no excuse. There's two things you should do every day upon awakening. And that's read the Bible and pray. Spend time in prayer with God. Talk to God. And by the way, the amount of time is not as important, or the amount of scripture, as is the intimacy, the connection, the engagement of your heart with the Lord. Talk to him. Tell him you love him. Seek his face and thank him, crying out to him to give you a heart of flesh and to take away all stony parts of your heart. Just cry out Psalm 51, repentance to him, and to clean your heart, to set things aright, etc. Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and you shall receive, the Lord says. You have not because you ask not. James 4:2. So notice Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's the key right there. Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly, in all wisdom. Notice not only the word richly. Boy, that's a rare thing these days, but let it be so among us, beloved. Let scripture fill our conversations. Holy Scripture, not your thoughts, philosophies, or mine. They're worth nothing. They only detract. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And not only the word dwelling among us, but let it be in all wisdom. Let it be in wisdom. Let's not wield a rusty sword of our own making. That will bring dishonor to the Lord, but rather in all wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge, and it has to come from God. You know, recently I watched the guy give a video. He does video presentations, and I mean, his whole backdrop is a library of books. And let me tell you, I don't think there's less than 1,000 books in view on that video camera. That is a bookshelf, okay? But listen, as was the case in listening to him, all the reading and books in the world cannot and does not replace the need for wisdom from God, which only comes from fearing God. You can have all the head knowledge in the world, even the good knowledge of the word, not be walking in the wisdom of God. That is all over the Bible. You might go to Proverbs 8. It's all over Proverbs. We are to seek wisdom, which is the principal thing, beloved. Ask God today, Lord, give me, we pray right now, Lord, that you would give each person listening your wisdom, oh God. That begins with fearing you, Lord. Let us fear thy holy name. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11. The fear of the Lord, saints, remember, is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear God. We must seek God. We must ask him for his wisdom, James 1:5. We must have the wisdom of God, beloved, which is the ability to use knowledge, that is, to wield the sword of his beautiful word. And never wield that sword out of a self-righteous heart, a heart that is not tempered and full of the love of Christ. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another Now, look at that. We could go on with that for a while, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching does not only go one way. You know, recently I've got a dear brother who in Christ, who's a friend of mine, and we were talking, and he's talking about how wonderful this older man in the military was that he talks about sometimes, and how he was very, very teachable. Amen. And if elders in the body of Christ aren't teachable, they really aren't elders, because they're full of pride. In the biblical sense, they haven't learned a whole lot. None of us have. We can learn from a 2-year-old. Remember in Isaiah, out of the mouth of babes, we should be learning from every person that we are around. If we're truly godly and humble in heart, which those are inseparable things in the kingdom of Christ, we're going to be teachable. The Bible teaches a lot about teachability, and it's not going to be there unless there's true humility. Jesus says that except you be converted and become as little children, what are they? They're dependent and they are teachable. You shall not in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:3-4. Notice Proverbs 1:5. A wise man, here it is, wise, meaning having wisdom, will hear and will increase learning. I love it. Are you increasing learning, beloved? Or have you become prideful and believe you know everything? I tell you what, when we really begin to learn a few things, kingdom truths, like all right there in the book of Matthew alone, which is stocked piled with wisdom that is essential and foundational. When we really begin to learn a few things, we're going to realize just how much we don't know. The more you learn, the more you realize how much you just don't know. That's why 17, 18, 20 year olds sometimes at that age, we think we know everything. We think we know better than our dads and everything. We all look back on that if we're a little bit older and laugh at ourselves and the stupidity of such. Why? What was the situation? Well, we learned a few things and thought we knew everything. Of course, a lot of the stuff we learned wasn't even correct in the first place. Second of all, we had just begun to start learning. Education, biblically speaking, has to be grounded and founded in the Word of God. It's pretty useless. It must be a revelation of God who gives us the breath of life and who created us. And it should be a mere springboard into more learning, a life of learning. And in order to learn, you must be teachable. And wisdom is teachable. Notice a wise man. Are you wise? Listen to this. A wise man will hear. A wise man doesn't shut his ears in pride. He opens them. A wise man will hear and will what? Increase learning. Are you growing in the knowledge of God and his wisdom today? And a man of understanding, that's another thing Book of Proverbs talks repeatedly about, praying and seeking understanding. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Notice Proverbs, that was Proverbs 1:5. One more. Proverbs 15:32. He that refuseth instruction, it doesn't matter, by the way, if that instruction's coming from an 8-year-old. If it's the truth, it's the truth. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, and he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You know, notice he that heareth reproof, heareth it. Recently, as the Lord would have it, I spoke a word of reproof to an individual, a man, and personally, I don't like to do that. The only fool I need to be correcting is myself. But the Holy Spirit, by his grace, has hold of me enough that sometimes he will put something through me that I kind of have no choice of, because I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. So it's really God's correction. Anyway, this individual said, you know, you're right. I'm sorry, man. You're right. I apologize. It immediately became teachable because he humbled himself before the Lord at that truth. And that is commendable. And may that be with each of us instead of reacting. Remember, Proverbs tells us, chapter 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, I would memorize that verse, Proverbs 13:10. In fact, what I want to encourage you to do is go back through the book of Proverbs. Do it as a book. Start today. If today's the 10th of the month, do Proverbs 10. If today's the 25th of the month, do the 20, you know, and go all the way through Proverbs, 30 days, 31 days, and harvest a lot of good scripture. Have your index cards and your pen ready and write down the reference and the verse out of the King James Bible and begin to meditate on it and memorize it. Perhaps put it on your vanity in your bathroom, and every morning when you're in the bathroom, read those scriptures out loud and get them in you, beloved. Notice Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law, the word is light. And notice this, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They're never going to stop, friends, until we're with Jesus. They're the way of life. This doesn't cut off when you're 70, 80, 90, or 100 years old. There's a way of life. We always have the need of being corrected, being admonished, warned. Have you noticed that? Because you see, you can't cast out the flesh. It must be crucified. And let's admit it honestly that every day of our lives, if you're like me, is not a perfect death and burial day. My flesh is trying to act up, which is only more proof and evidence that I need that cross applied directly to me to cry out to Jesus, to anoint me to the death and burial of self, that he might reign in my heart and through my life, because I'm not my own, bought with the price of his blood. And that's the same for you and every member of the body of Christ. We should cry out to God like John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Let it be, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. So finishing Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching it and admonishing one another. It goes both ways. Also, Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves, what? One to another. There's no bosses in the body of Christ who are untouchable. That's nothing but pride. Nothing but pride. The misused word taken out of context we hear often is touch not mine anointed. Well, go put in touch not mine anointed into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and read about the truth about that scripture, touch not mine anointed. By the way, while I'm talking about safeguardyoursoul.com, your prayers for our fruitfulness out of oneness with Christ, out of the cross and resurrection life of Christ, and support are extremely desired, coveted, and needed in reaching thousands of people every week, tens of thousands every month, with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a myriad of formats and ways that is being done. And it's being done because of the fuel of the body of Christ, the prayers and support. Thank you so much. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16, another memory verse for your life. Saints, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. The sword is two-edged, not one-edged. Hebrews 4:12. Teaching and admonishing one another. Just because you were used to share something with someone or correct them last week doesn't mean that God isn't going to have them, okay, correct you or teach you something out of the word this week. The only thing that would prevent that blessing is pride. May God bless us to humble ourselves, as the song and the scripture says, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you higher. Remember that one? Higher and higher, and he. And you know, singing those songs, that's what the next part of this says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I recently found myself out of the Spirit of God, birthing and bringing forth Psalm 40. He puts a new song in our heart. Amen. A prayer for people. Let God put a new song in my brother's heart. You know, praying with him over the phone, people in different states and fellowship. And I find myself stopping and going, you know why that's true? Because as usual, God is so good. Oh yeah. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. You know, and I would encourage him. And then the next time I talk to the brother on the phone, he'd be wanting to sing that and be singing that. And see, that ignites the fire in one another. That is part of the admonishing and the blessed fellowship. That's right here. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Specifically, those things admonish the body of Christ. I never even put that together before now. Just all coming together like a divine symphony with every instrument kicking in to the glory of God, admonishing one another in song. I mean, it might be a song God gives you, like those two I just mentioned. I love this other one too, which upon teaching some younger guys this song, they would come to me, and this song is decades old, but it's fresh as the day it was birthed from the Holy Spirit through whoever wrote it. It's the one that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I mean, what a prayer that one is. Go look it up if you need the lyrics. Lord, prepare me. What a prayer that is. And once that gets in somebody's ear and they're in their hearing and their heart, God can begin to make that part of their life by putting that particular new song in their heart. Even those he has saved, Psalm chapter 40, right in the beginning of that psalm, God has put a new song in our hearts upon saving us. He has taken away the stony places in our hearts and given us a heart of flesh, a heart that is full of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. A singing saint will always be a saint that's walking in divine power. I dare you to begin to sing praises unto God, beloved. Let's read it again before we go to the next of these verses on admonishment. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We sing to the Lord individually and together. So that was Colossians 3:16, the second verse where we find the word admonish. Romans 15:4, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Notice there are certain things that come before admonish in this verse. It takes oneness with God in Christ to fill a man's heart with the goodness of God. Notice Paul tells these beautiful saints at Rome that he is persuaded that these brethren are full of the goodness of God. They're full of the goodness of God. They're filled with all knowledge. These were established men and women of God who knew the word of God, and therefore they were able to admonish one another correctly. This may be something that's a matter of prayer for some listening here, and very important that you listen to this. You got to nibble on the meat and be acclimated to it and your appetite wet for it, and therefore hearing it is important. But you know, it's out of the work of God in our own hearts. Galatians 6 establishes, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this, concerning restoring a brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if you see a brother or sister that's fallen into sin or tripped up, stumbling, ye which are spiritual, that means spiritually mature, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have to allow God to mature us before we take on certain things, and he will lead us in such. God doesn't want me trying to correct anybody else if I've got logs in my own eyes. See, notice the self-examination here. Galatians 6, 1 at the end, it says, considering thyself. We all know that we are absolutely capable of any and all iniquity and evil in attitude and action outside of the present grace of God. So let God work in our hearts, humble us to be his disciples with preferring him and others above ourselves, we being crucified, dead, and buried, so that every and anything we do that comes out of our lives is brought out by the love of Christ in his resurrection, or his raising up of our lives as they're dead and buried and laid down. That is a man, a woman, who is mature, spiritual, right there in Galatians 6:1, which means spiritually mature. And speaking of admonishing one another, I used to have a friend, he was a brother in Christ, and among the other brothers, he would often say, behave yourself. He would exhort and admonish the brothers in love and in kindness, yet firmly, behave yourself. You know, his tone completely lacked self-righteousness. It's carried love with it. It was a firm, loving exhortation or admonishment to do what you know is right to do. We all have a conscience that God gave us. We all have the Bible. If you're born again, that is, you have the Holy Spirit. So in his admonition, this brother was firm, loving, and that carried through in his words, in the tone, in the spirit of it. And you know, his tone was nearly as important as the words he spoke. Admonish one another, Romans chapter 15, verse 14. God bless us to be and to the body of Christ to have godly men that affirm in their faith and who can exhort and admonish the brothers around them. Notice here in Romans 15:4, as we finalize that verse, they were full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. And then, and only then, there's an order to this. Were they able to admonish one another? So let these admonishments only come from God. It takes oneness with God in Christ to fill a man's heart with his goodness. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. And when we are filled with the knowledge of God's word, we shall be able to do what? Able also to admonish one another. Adam Clark writes this concerning this beautiful passage, this verse, Romans 15:4. He says this, they were so full of goodness and love, filled with all knowledge, so completely instructed in the mind and design of God relative to their calling and the fruit which they were to bring forth to the glory of God, that they were well qualified to give one another suitable exhortations, admonishments, on every important point. If they were all filled with knowledge, there was little occasion for them to admonish one another, but by this they were well qualified to admonish others, to impart the wisdom they had, the wisdom of God through His Word. The wisdom is the Word of God. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. They were able to what? To impart this wisdom they had to those who were less instructed. Why? To help them grow in Christ. Adam Clark, beloved, do we realize the divine blessing that will come upon and out of our lives as we ask the Father to fill us, even baptize with us with His love? I want to encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day this week, for the rest of this week. And get this in your spirit. Read it prayerfully. As usual, among the saints of Christ, in oneness with Christ and the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love must be our motive. We must be moved with God's love as it permeates our inner man. As we are truly crucified with Christ, we shall walk in the mind of Christ, and all things shall be done in His love and through His love for His glory, for the blessing, the betterment of others, whom we will be what? Esteeming better than ourselves. Philippians 2:3-5. So the next verse on admonish is 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonishing you. So he's talking to the younger believers. Elders among us are merely men who have been in the Lord longer. And most importantly, not how long they've been in the Lord, but how teachable and how much they've learned of the Lord by humbling themselves and by the cross life in their life every day. So he says to them, he says, know them which labor among you. You better discern who's overseeing you. You better be careful not to submit yourself to a man that's not talking about the cross, not living the cross, not full of the Holy Ghost and the love of God, not full of the Word of God, not pointing everyone they talk to the Word. You better be careful, because that is an ungodly, wicked man and not a man you should submit to. And unfortunately, in this last hour of great apostasy, which was foretold, we have very, very few elder fathers in the Lord. Paul even said that in 1 Corinthians 4:15. There's not enough fathers in the Lord, not enough men who will put away the world, put away the plate, and get before God and let Him break them so that they could be elders in the true definition of an elder in His holy eyes, not just somebody that's older and has a position. That's not really an elder. That doesn't make you an elder. Most who act as spiritual leaders in the professing body of Christ today are empty. They're building their own little enterprise. They're not crucified with Christ, which would lead them to be used by Him to build His church. That is, build the truth and the revelation of Jesus Christ out of the love of God in the hearts of His people. That's what Jesus meant when He said, I will build my church. Had nothing to do with a physical building. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You are God's working on and in His people. That's what pleases Him. Not some structure of brick, mortar, and wood. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of Christ. Not a penny was ever collected in the New Testament scriptures to build a physical building. Jesus and His disciples went to the people. They communicated with the people to imbue them, to put the Word of God in their hearts in love, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and preach the Word of God, calling men to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be forgiven and saved into His eternal kingdom, and to abide, to continue, to endure to the end with Him in His grace. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Make sure admonishments are coming from truly godly men. And you can't know who those truly godly men unless you know the Word of God. You're in the Word of God and you're examining, like the Bereans, everything and every person, every teaching, every leader against Holy Scripture. Acts 17, 10 and 11. Here's the last one. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Yet count him not as an enemy. He's talking about the brother that's walking out of order, but admonish him as a brother. See, there are people that are born again. They're saved. They're still in Christ. Don't count them as an enemy. There's a time you got to have the Spirit's wisdom on how this is conducted in each situation. But do admonish them as a brother. There are so many times I find myself praying with, hey, brother, let's pray about that right now. I want to admonish them. I want people to admonish me when I need it. I don't want them to bash me over the head unnecessarily. There is a time to do that. The Bible says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Who's that talking about? False teachers, specifically people that are false teachers in danger of hellfire, misleading others. They must be rebuked sharply. Why? So that they may be sound in the faith. That is Titus chapter 1, verse 13. But in other cases, when men are walking outside of, or they're out of order with God in a certain way, it's not damnable as would be the case with the false teacher, but they're out of order. They are to be admonished and not gently warned, if you will, and not counted necessarily as an enemy. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Another rendering or definition of admonish is it's a transitive verb to indicate duties or obligations, to express warning or disapproval, to especially in a gentle, earnest, or solicitous manner, or admonished for being late, gives an example, to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement, to admonish them to be careful. May God bless each of us to be rooted in Him, one with Him, and bearing His fruit, the first of which is love, the fruit that He alone can produce in this oneness relationship Jesus prayed for us to have with Father, John 17. Do we readily own the divine themes of John 17 and 15, saints? Do we? John 15, what does it talk about? Abiding in Christ and therefore being one with Him as Jesus prayed for us. And John 17, our lives produce the fruit that glorifies God. He's producing that fruit because we're crucified with Him and dead and buried, and Romans 6, and raised up. There's the fruit that God's going to bring forth. It's a life changer. Gain the wisdom, the vision of this divinely painted masterpiece, and work off of this biblical grill or grid, beloved. Work off of this grid. Work out of this mindset, this biblical kingdom paradigm. Nothing wrong with the word paradigm. It just has to be 100% Bible. And when we get rooted in John 17, what did Jesus pray for? That's what we're to pray. We're to pray the word. And here's Jesus praying. Man, this is incredible. And what is Jesus talking about with abiding and the fruit that He bears in the lives of those who abide in John 15? Remember John 15 and 17. I would say John 17 first, then 15. In John 17, Jesus prays to the Father to make us one with them, He and the Father. Then in John 15, our Lord speaks of the abiding relationship He saved us for and the corresponding fruit produced by God in our lives and for His glory. Let it be in each of our lives this day and this week, dear Lord Jesus, we pray, as we allow Jesus, the great shepherd of His sheep, to guide our lives through that daily cross relationship rooted in the love of God. He shall lead us beside the still waters into fruitful pastures that glorify His holy name. Psalm 23. Let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for finding and saving Your beloved people by the blood of Your only begotten Son, Lord. We love You, dear Father. We love You, Jesus. You're our Lord and Savior. You pay for us to be with You, in You, and Your family. And we thank You. We're ever eternally grateful for this blessed gift. Make us to be one with You as You pray, Jesus, and the Father, and therefore Your fruit would be produced in our lives to bring glory to You and You alone. We declare right now that I am no longer my own. I am bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we are abandoned to Your perfect will, Your leading, Your guidance, Your wisdom, and Your truth. Please allow Your command to admonish one another to be found throughout Your body as it pleases You and as only You can bring about. We love You and thank You for it, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, saints.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.